When a wildfire does occur, satellites can also help officials understand how big the blaze is and how it's spreading, so agencies can provide real-time safety alerts.
We have imagery and data and information that can show the fire perimeter so that emergency managers can provide updates to evacuation orders, for example.
And after a wildfire ends, satellites can spot places at a high risk for landslides, which can occur in recently burned areas. So even as the risk of wildfires increases on a warming planet, these eyes in the sky can provide the data officials need to keep people out of harm's way. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you for tuning in to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy. We are Earthers. We live in a radical little town called Earthalooyaville. We shout Earthalooyah when we walk by on our imaginary streets. We are sharing this one incredible experience. We are living on this planet, and the sixth extinction is underway. It's accelerating quickly. We are not a cult. We are a difficult. Our source of comfort is not religion, shopping, or strongmanism. Earthers embrace a contradiction. We look for comfort and strength in the earth, which is this mindlessly superior force that is doing the extinguishing. Extinctions are when evolution speeds up so much that only a small number of living beings are invited to survive. The ones who are willing to undergo embarrassing transformations. We learn how to operate with a second brain, fins, coconuts, and other surprises. We Earthers try to survive with extreme wishful thinking.
Remember how to be grateful and how to listen. The natural laws will happen. Man laws don't have any relationship to the moon mother moving the rhythms of life. We do. We do. By honoring those things that give life to you, then you acknowledge that same responsibility that you're supposed to share with your children and grandchildren. And that's an understanding that all Indigenous women have that I know.
That was Casey Comp Hornick of the Ponca people, talking to us from what she calls occupied territory. Indeed it is, near Ponca City, Oklahoma. She talks so eloquently about being occupied by the oil companies as well as the United States. But the fracking in particular is heartbreaking to listen to her descriptions. Her grandfather, one of the people walking in the Trail of Tears from the eastern part of the United States, in which one out of three did not make it. The words there referring to man laws. If the growth that we seek is a series of steps in humility, I've never heard that phrase before, but it's undeniably true. It just has the ring of truth, especially coming from Casey Comp Hornick. I'm looking forward to knowing more, learning more from this discovery of women's voices now, and sharing with you the discoveries that we make on this website that has the testimonials of hundreds of Indigenous people from around the world, women from around the world. Thank you so much for your teaching. And now we'll go back to the Stop Shopping Choir from the new record, The Star. The Sun is the Star that Keeps Me Warm, produced and created by Savitri D., our director. Here we go. Hallelujah.
Machines in the ice, machines on my table, machines in the cradle, machines on my They make one. Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. A mass stranding event involving a total of 146 dolphins on the Cape Cod Peninsula in the northeastern United States has officially been declared the largest such event in the country's history, according to the International Fund for Animal Welfare, whose rescuers responded rapidly to the distressed animals. 37 dolphins died in the event, and 7 more were humanely euthanized. On Friday, June 28th, the International Fund for Animal Welfare responded to a report of 10 Atlantic white-sided dolphins apparently stuck in a shallow mudflat on the shores of Wellfleet. In a grueling 12-hour operation, a team of over 150 people from multiple agencies, including 100 trained volunteers, managed to herd most of the animals into safer, deeper waters. Baby oysters rely on natural acoustic cues to settle in specific environments, but new research reveals that noise from human activity is interfering with this critical process. Marine organisms are particularly vulnerable to the intensification of human noise because they use sound for a range of activities, including to sense their surroundings, navigate, communicate, avoid predators, and find mates and food. The ocean's natural sound is gradually hushing due to habitat loss, leading to a quieter natural environment, increasingly drowned out by the crescendo of man-made noise pollution. Scientists have discovered that the serrated edges of Komodo dragons' teeth are tipped with iron. The study gives new insight into how Komodo dragons keep their teeth razor sharp and may provide clues to how dinosaurs like Tyrannosaurus rex killed and ate their prey. Native to Indonesia, Komodo dragons are the largest living species of monitor lizard, averaging around 80 kilograms. Deadly predators, Komodos have sharp, curved teeth similar to many carnivorous dinosaurs. They eat almost any kind of meat, from smaller reptiles and birds to deer, horses, or water buffalo, pulling and tearing at their prey to rip flesh apart. When humans are having a conversation, they rapidly take turns speaking and sometimes even interrupt. Now, researchers who have collected the largest ever data set of chimpanzee conversations have found that they communicate back and forth using gestures following the same rapid-fire pattern. We found that the timing of chimpanzee gesture and human conversational turn-taking is similar and very fast, which suggests that similar evolutionary mechanisms are driving these social communicative interactions, says Gal Badihi, the study's first author. An international team of researchers has discovered that metallic minerals, potato-sized lumps of metal, on the deep ocean floor produce oxygen 13,000 feet below the surface. Scientists previously believed that oxygen was strictly formed as a byproduct of photosynthesizing plants. However, these oxygen-producing bits of metal called polymetallic nodules were found in the deep ocean far beyond the reach of the sun's rays. Researchers made the discovery in the Clarion-Clipperton Zone, a long stretch of Pacific Ocean that extends from near Hawaii to off the coast of Mexico. Scientists had noted the presence of oxygen in the area more than a decade ago. The surprising discovery challenges long-held assumptions that only photosynthetic organisms such as plants and algae generate Earth's oxygen. But the new finding shows there might be another way. It appears oxygen can also be produced at the seafloor, where no light can penetrate, to support the oxygen-breathing aerobic sea life living in complete darkness. Dogs experience emotional contagion from the smell of human stress, leading them to make more pessimistic choices. New research studied how human stress odors affect dogs' learning and emotional state. Evidence in humans suggests that the smell of a stressed person subconsciously affects the emotions and choices made by others around them. The same appears to be true for dogs. Dog owners know how attuned their pets are to their emotions, but here we show that even the odor of a stressed, unfamiliar human affects a dog's emotional state, perception of rewards, and ability to learn. Working dog handlers often describe stress traveling down the lead, but we've also shown it can travel through the air. Butterflies and moths collect so much static electricity while in flight that pollen grains from flowers can be pulled by static electricity across air gaps of several millimeters or centimeters. This likely increases their efficiency and effectiveness as pollinators. A human team also observed that the amount of static electricity carried by butterflies and moths varies between different species, and that these variations correlate with differences in their ecology, such as whether they visit flowers, are from a tropical environment or fly during the day or night. This is the first evidence to suggest that the amount of static electricity an animal accumulates is a trait that can be adaptive, and thus evolution can act upon it by natural selection. The study involved 269 butterflies and moths across 11 different species, native to 5 different continents and inhabiting multiple different ecological niches. A new study has found that the eyes of the male dragonfish, a small but ferocious predator, grow larger for mate-seeking purposes, making the dragonfish an anomaly in vertebrate evolution. Like many creatures that inhabit the dark depths of the sea, dragonfish survive thanks to numerous adaptations, including glowing bioluminescence. But females are not quite as bright as males, so male dragonfish have evolved larger eyes to find females who produce less light. Sexual dimorphism in the visual systems of vertebrates is extremely rare. The big-eyed dragonfish is only the second known case in fishes, the largest group of vertebrates on Earth. Tree bark surfaces play an important role in removing methane gas from the atmosphere, according to a study published in Nature. While trees have long been known to benefit the climate by removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, this new research reveals a surprising additional climate benefit. Microbes hidden within tree bark can absorb methane, a powerful greenhouse gas, from the atmosphere. An international team of researchers has shown for the first time that microbes living in bark or in the wood itself are removing atmospheric methane on a scale equal to or above that of soil. They calculate that this newly discovered process makes trees 10% more beneficial for climate overall than previously thought. Methane is responsible for around 30% of global warming since pre-industrial times, and emissions are currently rising faster than at any point since records began in the 1980s. In a significant milestone for rhinoceros conservation, 120 southern white rhinos were recently relocated to reserves adjacent to South Africa's Kruger National Park. The rhinos were moved from Platinum Rhino, a privately run breeding program. In 2023, conservation nonprofit African Parks announced it had purchased Platinum Rhino and its herd of 2,000 white rhinos. It said it planned with partners to move the rhinos to wild habitats. However, finding safe locations has been a challenge due to poaching. Rhino horn, made from keratin like human fingernails, is falsely believed to have medicinal properties in traditional Chinese medicine. According to the Copernicus Climate Change Service, July 22, 2024, was the hottest day since the Era 5 recording started in 1940. That day, the planet had an average temperature of 62.87, breaking the record set the previous day, July 21, 2024, of 62.76 degrees Fahrenheit. And that day was fractionally hotter than the previous record on July 6, 2023. What is truly staggering is how large the difference is between the temperature of the last 13 months and the previous temperature records. We are now in truly uncharted territory, and as the climate keeps warming, we are bound to see new records being broken in future months and years, said Copernicus director Carlo Buontempo. And now, the sounds of extinction. Anti-whaling activist Paul Watson has been arrested in Greenland under an international arrest warrant issued by Japan. Watson is the founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. The arrest took place during a stop-off on a mission to intercept Japan's newly built factory whaling ship, Kangai Maru, in the North Pacific. It is believed his arrest was related to a so-called red notice issued over Watson's previous anti-whaling interventions in the Antarctic region. The 9,000-ton whaler Kangai Maru, which set off from Japan in May, butchers and processes whales caught by smaller vessels. It is equipped with a slipway that can haul 70-ton fin whales, can store up to 600 tons of meat at a time, enabling it to remain at sea for long periods. It is Japan's first new whaling ship of its kind for more than 70 years. The new vessel's range of 13,000 kilometers is fueling suspicion that 5 years after Japan abandoned its controversial scientific hunts in the Southern Ocean and resumed commercial whaling along its own coastline, Japan is once again preparing to slaughter the mammals far from its own shores. Captain Watson has led anti-whaling expeditions at sea for decades. If the extradition continues, 73-year-old Watson faces 15 years in a Japanese prison. Previously, Watson has avoided jail by staying in international waters. In 2015, while fleeing the German police, he said, quote, "If I can return to my ships, I will. If not, my captains and their crews will return without me to once more defend the whales in the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary and hear the sound of the blue whale, the largest mammal on Earth, in the water of the Southern Oceans."
So, Reverend Billy again here. You know, Casey Camp Harnick told us to proceed in gratitude and humility. I'd like to thank some people. Salvatore D., the composer of that opening piece, The Now Bird, A Conversation with a Bird, Joshua Kawan Nelson on the solo, and that was the opening number of our shows with the Neil Young Tour this spring. Thank you, Savi and Josh. We are the Earthers. That's the opening chapter of the Earthaluya Manifesto, my book. And that is on the Soho Letterpress, published by Annie Elliott and edited by Joseph Elliott. Thank you so much. Our neighbors, the Elliotts, for making that book possible. The Women's Voices Now produced Casey Camp Harnick, brought her to us from the Ponca tribe. Thank you so much for your wise words, but the moon mothers and the inadequacy of man laws, amen, and the inadequacy of machines comes to us from, that's another Savitri composition with Ali Dineen singing, and of course Chopin Narayan with War Kills Everything. Ooh. The news, Savitri, and the editing, Jason Candler, and the ecosystems, Bernie Krause. Bernie, the inventor of an entire tradition, the idea of biophony, that the Earth's ecosystems are actually many species, each taking their place in the audio splendid harmonies of that ecosystem. It's not just a bunch of species in a pile. There's a design to it. He discovered that. Gave that to the world, a way of listening to nature so that it's not just a catalog of decontextualized species, but the music of the natural world. And so here we are at the end of our half hour, grateful to you. If you're in town, come and visit us. Our Earth service is 5 p.m. Sundays at 36 Avenue C in the East Village, Lower East Side Avenue. Come and join us in a hold forth. Well, somebody give me an Earthaluya. I'll see you next time. Be safe. Be wild. This is Reverend Billy.